why can't I be joyful? As we have said in the past, I'll say again, the first thing you must want to do is be happy. And the second thing, if you want to be happy, is you then have to find the right path to obtain that happiness. We fail to adjust to disturbing situations. We fail to adjust to disturbing situations. Have you ever noticed how much bad news you are bombarded with every day just through the newspaper media? I went and picked up a couple of newspapers, today's and a few back issues, and real quickly just glanced over some of the headlines, didn't even read the stories, but just some of the headlines. And I want to come up, or I want to bring you up to date on what I read. There is pressure mounting to reinstate the military draft. Does that worry you? Well, of course you say, well, man, I'm 50 years old, it doesn't bother me. Number two, I read one, how safe is Harris County from flooding? Number three, vacation homes are targets for theft during the summer. Summer's on us now. Four, soaring house costs leave many people with too low of insurance coverage. Five, the federal government in its FDIC program, backing up your money in the banks, only has $9 billion to back up the $750 billion deposits. Woo! What happened if we had a depression? Well, Uncle Sam only backs up $9 billion, the rest of us gone down to two. Then San Antonio sniper kills two and dozens injured. How dangerous are nuclear energy plants? General Motors fails to inform the buyers of defective automatic transmissions. Do you own a General Motors car? Next page, Ford, told to recall 1 million automobiles. Crime in Houston rose 18.2% in the first 3 months of 1979 over 78. The interest alone on our national debt next year will be $48 billion. That's just interest, no principal, no relief in sight for taxes. 11, the inflation spiral at this moment in this year is running at 13%. 12, gasoline shortages and rising prices are something you're going to have to live with. 13, there has been enough disappearance of uranium to build 10 nuclear bombs and nobody knows where the uranium went. 14, there is no end in sight for rising meat prices. 16, Cuba just got its second submarine from Russia. 16, and you may not have got this one, but they say and predict there will be a heavy infestation of fleas this year in Houston. And I've only scratched the surface of just a few pages in a couple of days. Now, if I didn't give you anything to worry about, you're in good shape. Really now, you're in good shape because most of the things that I read to you are worrying a lot of people. And they don't know how to solve. And then every individual has his own personal problems that alarm and disturb him and he cannot solve and makes him spend many a restless night. From chinch bugs in his lawn to cracks in his foundation. From pressures at work to a new pain in his back. Man smells disturbing odors. He hears disturbing sounds. He sees disturbing sights. And he imagines disturbing events. What's the result? Well, I'll say one thing. He's not going to have joy. As long as you and I are worried and we fret and we're frightened and we're anxious, there is no way that we can have the joy that God says God's people ought to have. For when your mind is filled with fear, it at the same time cannot experience joy. Now, the advice of a lot of people is just simply this. If you want to be happy, stop worrying so much. That sounds great. And everybody would like to stop worrying, but they don't really know how. But really, people realize, you know, as long as I worry, I can't be happy. Now, worry saddens a person, and it burdens a person. Because of that, it will destroy the joy that Christ can give you. And not only that, as you all know, it can also wreck your health. I have many times gone to the doctor with a sore throat. And he says, "What you got?" And I say to myself, "What on earth has that got to do with a sore throat? I never heard of a worry germ." But according to my findings, worry reduces your bodily resistance to germs. We also know, I went to the doctor one time in the back, all in spasms, and he said, "What you worried about?" I finally quit going to the doctor. That's all he ever told me was, "What are you worried about?" You know? And then it causes stomach ulcers. It also can increase your chances of heart attack. Now, I'm not giving you a medical lecture tonight, but I just want to tell you some things about what worry can do besides cost you joy. Because let me say this, when you get sick, it's also hard to be joyful when your body is in pain and when you're sick. So it's in a real sense related, you see. Now, I said stress can increase your chances of a heart attack. How? Number one, it narrows the artery walls to your heart. It brings them down in size. Secondly, and I didn't know this now, it increases the blood clotting time. Happy people, you know how long it takes their blood to clot? You won't know where you're having that. Now go home and cut yourself, I guess, and find it out. Yeah, but anyway, it takes them anywhere from 8 to 12 minutes for their blood to clot. You know how long it takes a person under stress for their blood to clot? 1 to 3 minutes. Now you stop to think, if the artery wall closes down and gets narrow, and there is a slowing down of the blood through the artery because it's closed up, and it slows down too much, that blood can clot. If it does, you're dead. Or you have a heart attack. And not only that, but stress, as I understand, as I read from this doctor now, it increases the amount of secretion of your adrenal gland, which causes high blood pressure. That's not all it can do to you. Now, a 45-year-old man one time went to see his doctor, same book I was reading. And he was going to be treated for something else, and the doctor noticed that his hands were twisted from arthritis. And he asked him, "How long have you had that condition with your hands?" And he told this story. He said, "When I was 7 years old, we lived out in the woods, and it was reported that there was a panther spotted in the area where we lived. And I had to go out and I had to walk through the woods at times, and I was always afraid that that panther was going to jump on me and kill me. In about a couple of weeks, I noticed that my hands were getting stiff in the joints. And steadily from that time on, I got like you see right now." Now, arthritis is felt to be a disease that's caused by stress to the joints. Stress which can be caused by injury or can be caused by fatigue, overworked joint. But it can also be caused by mental stress of worry that can irritate the joints and cause arthritis. What else does worry reveal, spiritually speaking? Number one, if you worry, it says some obvious spiritual truths. One is that you consider your life to be out of God's control. God can't handle you. God can't handle your affairs. God is not handling your life as you think he ought to handle it. Which means you are saying to God, you are a poor manager of my life. Now that's what worry says to God. It also says that you are either missing the plan of God or you don't like the plan of God. It says that. It also says that you are finding that God's providence for your life cannot be trusted. That is, you consider God doing a poor job in directing your life. He is leading you down paths that you consider to be foolish and unwise and harmful. It also says that you prefer to walk by sight rather than by faith. Because when you worry with the way God is handling your life, it means that God is not giving you enough guarantees and enough safeguards and enough assurances to please you. He's not giving you enough assurance that he's taking care of the potential rainy day. And that causes us to worry. And so the man who worries is a man who wants from God more guarantees than God will give. The man who worries is one who does not want to get in the spot where he has to walk by faith. When you worry, what you're really saying is, I'm afraid that God is going to pull the rug out from under me and make me walk by faith. He's going to make me trust him, and that frightens me. And so therefore, we worry and lose our joy. Now, Paul discusses this matter in 2 Corinthians in the first chapter, verse 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 8 and verse 9. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. Now, that right there, you see, causes all of us to begin worrying, well, will God allow me to get in trouble? That's the one thing I want to get out of. That's the one thing I want to dodge. We would not, brother, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed. Now notice, we were pressed out of measure above strength insomuch that we despaired even of our life. And deep down we begin to worry and say, oh, is that going to happen to me? Surely that can't happen to me. It mustn't happen to me. And therefore, I will handle my life and forget about God's providence. But that just increases your worry more. Because you'll find you can't handle your life. We have the sentence of death in ourselves. Why did God allow this times of trouble on them? Paul says, why? Notice now, that we should not trust in ourselves, but that we might learn to trust in God. You know, Christians, let's face it, if we worry, we don't want to trust in God. That's the whole point of worrying. We're worrying about having to trust in God. That's what we're worried about. We're worrying about having to leave it up to him and take care of it. We're worrying about what he'll do about it. That's what we're worried about. That's the problem. Now again, Paul warns man, you better not try walking by sight now and try and take care of yourself, because that's going to get you in trouble too. Look at 1 Timothy 6:17. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them, now notice, now we all feel, here is the solution. If I can just figure out a way to get me a hedge around my life, man, I won't have to worry about nothing. You know what the hedge we normally think of is money. Money. If I can just get the money, that will solve all of my worry problems. And that's the way most people think. And probably most of the things that I read you wasn't going to have the newspaper, money could solve a lot of them. Now notice he says here, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. Uncertain riches. What's he mean by uncertain? Because they can't guarantee you what you think they can. Why not? Well, have you ever heard of inflation? You're hearing about it. I finally decided there's no way I can keep up with it. Just forget it. There's no way. Have you ever heard of a depression? I said a while ago that Uncle Sam doesn't have your money backed up. Tomorrow we had a depression, you know, we would be broke. Most of us, unless you've got your money buried in a can at home, the bank would be broke. It couldn't cover all of the deposits, because you know where the deposits are? They're loaned out to you to buy the things you've got on credit. So they couldn't pay you back because you couldn't pay the loan back. All right, have you ever heard of war? Well, that's not going to happen. Oh, that's, you see, you're trusting in the uncertainty of riches. It can happen. Have you ever heard of theft? Or have you ever heard of fire? Or have you ever heard of sickness? Nowadays, you can go to the hospital, spend a couple of months, and owe $100,000. Wipe you out. God is saying you can't build a hedge around your life to protect it from every problem that's coming your way. There's no way. Riches just can't do it. Now look at Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now if you don't please God, there can't be joy in your life, because if there's no pleasing God, there's guilt. If there's guilt, there's no joy. These things are connected. Now, God is going to force us in a position where we're going to have to prove to Him we have faith, because you see, God says it takes faith to make us pleasing to Him. How does God know you have any faith until He allows something to come along to test it? The only faith most Christians have is, I believe that if I died, I'd go to heaven. That's about it. I believe that I have given my life to Christ and He has saved me and forgiven my sin. That's all faith I got. We've never learned to live by faith and walk by faith, and yet God said, unless we do that, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now, what does it mean walking by faith? I really have difficulty trying to explain this. Let me show you what it means to walk by faith according to Peter. 1 Peter 5:7. This is not an easy sermon for me to preach. I'll say that for you. I have trouble myself here. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You will say, that's great. But how do I cast my cares on the Lord and leave it there and walk off and forget it? That's the question. Anybody can go and dump it on the Lord, but the problem is, when I walk off from the Lord, I drag it back with me. How can I completely leave it there? And that's not easy. And He came to me this morning that about the only way I know you can leave it there is before you go to Him with your care, you make up your mind that you are willing to make adjustments if necessary. That's the only way. You can't leave your problem with the Lord. This finally dawned on me today. Unless you're willing to make adjustments, if need be, you can't leave your problem with Him. There's no way. And I have discovered that just today. And if those adjustments are required, then you make them. There's no other way to leave your worries with the Lord. Now, I think we ought to trust the Lord to give us our heart's desire. There's nothing wrong with that. But if He does not, and that if has to be placed in there, if He does not, then we must trust in His grace, we must trust in His wisdom, we must trust in His love, and we must trust in His providence, and then adjust where and when need be. For if you're willing to adjust, I believe you can leave your problems with the Lord. Jesus said, take no thought of tomorrow. You can't do that unless you're willing to adjust. I can't do that unless I'm willing to adjust. Now, I believe the Lord said, take no thought of tomorrow. It did not mean that you ought to be lazy and do nothing. Nor did he say that you ought to be indifferent and not even care. What I think he was saying here is, do what God has commanded you to do, then leave the rest to God, being ready to adjust if God says it has to be. Now, I think one of the greatest hindrances to walking by faith and to get rid of the worry in our life is that we have a desire, a burning concern to maintain a certain level of living. We desire a certain kind of lifestyle. And that's the real hang-up we have with walking with God. We're afraid that God might ask of us to give up the lifestyle that has, in a real sense, been our cheap delight and desire and joy, which I think sometimes is wrong. But we have, I believe, sometimes too strong an attachment to the good things of the world. And there are many good things of the world. It's not even simple. Many good things. And it dawned on me that the adjustments that I was not willing to make would be the adjustments to come down off the lifestyle and the plane on a real sense which you people have placed me. You've spoiled me. You know as well as I do one of the real problems that I wrestle with and I worry about is 20 years down the road. You say, boy, you got a long ways to go. But that's when you begin to make plans, you see. At the present time, and I've mentioned this before, you provide me with a very nice home. I'm getting used to it. I like it. I really enjoy it. I look at the yards of many of the new homes, and you can reach out and touch the other fellow's house, and you give me almost 3/4 acre over there to live. My wife loves that 80-foot-long garden. That's one of her great delights. So I try to think, well, now, how can I equal that for me a retirement home? I don't want to come down. If anything, I'd like to go up a little bit more. And so I look around today, and I am frightened. I say, man, there's no way. And every day I look, not every day, but every month, it goes up 1 more percent, 1 more percent. That house over there, you paid $21,000. Today, you couldn't build it for $60,000. If I went out and tried to buy the land in that house and that garage, I'd be paying $100,000. I don't have that kind of money. I'll never have that. But you see, this time next year, it'll be $112,000. The next year, $124,000. By the time I retire, I figured up that house would be $1 million. And I say, well, Lord, where am I going to live? And so I worry about it. And so I came to the conclusion, and I told Mary the way over here, I said, you know, I'm not going to give up on the idea of a home for retirement because if I walked out at 65, I don't want to live in the street. I said to her, I said, well, if we can, we'll try to find a piece of property and we'll try to buy a house. And if we can't, we'll have to adjust. Now, that sounds easy as I can go back home tonight and sleep in that lovely house of yours. She can go in her big old garden and work. That's all right. But I'm saying until we are reconciled to the fact that we may have to adjust and come down off this high plane on which I live and come down, if necessary, all the way, then I will not be able to stop worrying because I find there's no way that I can duplicate that house. Not now. And I don't think I'll ever be able to duplicate that house. And that's probably one of the biggest worries that I have. What is going to happen to me when I retire? I'm assuming I'll live that long. I may not. But if I don't, that takes care of that problem, you know. That takes care of that. What I'm saying is, you have to be willing to adjust or you're not going to be able to stop worrying. And if a man can't adjust, then he's not going to be able to turn his problem over to God. Because he's going to say, God probably won't handle it like I want it handled, so I'll handle it myself. And I found I can't handle it I've tried. And the more you try to handle your own problem, the more you worry about it because you find you can't handle it. Philippians 4, verse 11. And notice what Paul says here. Not that I speak in respect of want. Notice what he says. I've learned. Now this is something that I'm talking about tonight. It's got to be learned. It's not easy. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to live in the one-room house, and I know how to abound. I know how to live in the ten-room house. Everywhere in all things I am instructed to be full. I know how it is to have a full stomach, eat a good meal, and I know what it's like to be hungry. To abound, to have my needs more than met, and I know what it means to want, to suffer needs I don't have met. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What's he saying? All he's saying is that I have learned to adjust my life as the Lord's plan for me unveils itself. If today I abound, I adjust. If tomorrow I lose ground, I adjust. And I can adjust, leaving it up to Christ, and then do all things through Him. I'm content with the way the Lord handles my life because I have learned how to adjust, or as you would call it, roll with the punches. Then verse 6, be careful for nothing, don't worry. The word be careful is be not anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Then after you tell Him what you want Him to do for you, then I would like to insert this matter of being willing to adjust. Then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. I'm not sure I've really explained anything to you tonight. I don't know. But some things have dawned on me. And I've got to work on this angle now of the willingness to adjust my life to whatever God's will and plan and providence has for me. As Paul learned it, I pray that I also will learn this lesson. Because I think it's the key to being willing to walk by faith. The willingness to adjust. It's the key to having joy and freedom from worry. The key of learning and willing to adjust. Father, we're thankful this night for the provisions that you have given to all of us. And you are good to us. There's no doubt about this. We pray tonight that we might have a greater respect for your providence, a greater respect for your wisdom and the power that you have to control the situations regarding our lives. We just ask that you enable us to surrender our lives and our wills to the point that we can adjust to the situations in which we find ourselves. That we can learn to abound, or we can learn to be in want, and trust you each step of the way of every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.